keep it real simple, keep it real simple. Bring everything right back to ground zero, 'cause it all comes down to this. Love God and love people. We live in a world that keeps breaking, but if we wanna find a way to change it, it all comes down to this. Love God and love people.
Good morning, Simple Church. Come on, give it up for them one time. Man, we're so thankful that you're here. That's a little old school for you, man. I don't know if you recognize that song. If you were around back in the 90s, man, that's a little Christian music for me. For an old friend of mine named Jeff Moore in the distance, so I was with them for a little while. Alan was with them for a while as well, so it's just a little shout-out to the old times. So thank you again for being with us. Thanks for enjoying a great Sunday morning. There's a lot of people in a lot of trouble this morning, so we want you to know we are praying for them. We're thinking about them. Down in South Louisiana, we have got you literally in the middle of our minds and our hearts. So just don't forget to continue to think about how you can help them by bringing some stuff, as Evan said, and we talked about in the pre-show. Over the next week, if you want to drop it off at the office, we're going to take some runs down there and drop it off to a lot of our friends down there. So just be praying for them all. Also, we want to welcome you as we continue the board game series. And don't forget that right after this service, there are seminars available. Here's just a couple of those so that you'll know over the next couple of weeks. But today, Robin will be talking about missions and risk. She's going to have it's only about 15, 20 minutes. It's just a chance if you're trying to figure out what to do or maybe another little step. They're in between the services, so we'd love for you to go and check that out. And then we'll put it online later, too, if you can't see it or you don't have time today. We try to put them online so you'll know what's going on with that. But today's game is one that everybody knows. Very popular game. You've probably played it at least once in your life. It is the game of life. Anybody know the game of life? Come on. They can say, surely. Here's a little trivia for you, though. All right. In 2007, when we launched the Simple Church, which we're only a few weeks away from our 14th birthday, the very first series that we did 14 years ago was this right here, the game of life. You will see it. That is the cups that we had in the theater seats. We had the little bulletins in there because back then we had bulletins. Right now, everything's on the app. Please download the app because your notes are on the app. The communication card is on the app now. But back then, pen and paper, man. And it was still complicated because it was dark in the theater, but that's what we had it in there for. And we have a little treat in there too, the little Reese's peanut butter things. They had all kind of little game, It's all kind of movie treats in there. It was just a lot of fun, and people loved it. So it's kind of funny that we're bringing it back up again, because here we are 14 years later, and I'm going, here, we're talking about the game of life. But what makes it different today is we had no room, you know, back in 2007. But today, next door, if you're in this building, you get to go and walk through. They've done an amazing job. Can you give it up for Amber right now? Give her a little love, taking care of life groups. She's got all kinds of life groups available, about 39 groups over there you can kind of walk through. We couldn't have done that in the theater ever, so it's kind of fun. It's all based on the game of life and all the different groups that are available, so make sure you check that out. Now, a little more trivia. If back in 2007, if we did the game of life, I did not know this. The game of life, I would have thought was created in the 60s, but when I looked that up, 1860 is when the game of life was created by Milton Bradley. I'm like, 1860? Good night. Here we are in 2021, and we're still talking about life, and man, has life changed from 1860 until today. When I pulled back up the 2007 message on life, I found it interesting. As I was looking through all the things that have changed from the 1800s to 2007 to now 2021, man, it's just been a crazy, crazy ride, particularly in the last year or so. But what was interesting, in 2007, I found a Gallup poll, and they asked people, what was the negative feeling that they had experienced in the last 24 hours? Could they name one that was overwhelming to them or the one that stuck out in their mind? They listed, was it fear? Was it guilt? What was the overwhelming feeling that you had in a negative connotation over the last 24 hours? And number one on the list was, what do you think? 2007, what were they most overwhelmed with? What do you think? Anybody? Everybody's like, oh no, man, loneliness. In 2007, they were saying, man, what I have felt the most over the last 24 hours was I've just felt alone. Well, I started thinking about, like, now, 2021, has anything changed? Well, I think there has been a lot that's changed. Fear might be what hits us in 2021 now, because we hear of a hurricane coming up. We've got still COVID going crazy around. People are trying to figure out what to do. There's a lot of different emotions that we're still trying to work through. What was also interesting, though, that I had forgotten as I did the research of where we were in 2007 as people were lonely, What many of you do not remember, because I had no idea, in 2007, this was released. You go, what was released? The first iPhone. Now, when we launched the church, it was right around the same time. This was in June of that year. We launched in September of that year. So the summer, as we were doing some preview services, this phone came out, which once again changed everything. You know it changed everything, because this is what it looks like now when you go to dinner with anybody, right? Isn't it interesting that in 2007, the overwhelming negative emotion that they felt was loneliness, and then a phone is launched in 2007 that in many ways pushed us to more isolation, because we can even gather to eat and we don't look at each other and talk to each other. And when you talk about the fear that we may feel in 2021, which might be the negative emotion, we're constantly trying to look at the updates. Even right before I got up here, I was looking at my phone, which we couldn't have done before. It's like, what's the latest on the hurricane? You know, what's the latest on this or that? And we kind of stay glued to it. Well, I looked back and I thought about when I was growing up, or when you were growing up, we were growing up, a lot of things have changed. A lot of things have moved in a direction that kind of pushes us to this isolation, including the phone. For example, here's a couple of four pictures that I've pulled together because I thought about growing up and when my parents said when they went to the bank, they talked to a teller. Anybody remember those days? Now it's like you go and there's an ATM, and sometimes the teller may talk to you, but they're through a television screen or through a computer. You don't really even talk very often to a human. And then I thought about pay at the pump. When I grew up, I mean, it was very, very weird. You had to go in and talk to someone. I'll have 20 on pump three, you know what I'm saying? Or you actually had, in certain cases, someone who would come out and pump the gas for you. But today it's like, no, man, once again, can I get away from people? Can I not have to talk to anybody? So we pay at the pump. You go to the gym, what's the number one thing you see at the gym now? And that's headphones. Because everybody's like, don't talk to me. I'm working out. I don't want to look at anybody. I don't want to talk to nobody. I'm surprised we don't wear sunglasses to do the same thing. And then I thought about, this has dramatically changed since 2007, is we all shop online. Nobody really wants to go into a store. We struggle with it. We may do it, but we struggle. And I thought, boy, here is just another little snapshot, four little areas that I can go, I get it. Now, it's not all bad, because there are different things that I like. I do like shopping online. I do like being able to go to ATM and get my money quicker, or get my gas quicker. I get all those things. But in the reality of the world we're living in, it is still somewhat of a challenge to be connected to other people. Now, the reason I bring that up is because this past week, the Evan and some of the younger guys, we were eating lunch, and they're like, have you seen this? I'm like, I actually had seen it because I'm a 60 Minutes guy. I'm old and watch news specials, all right? But in that 60 minutes of watching that television show, they went to a place called Boston Dynamics. Now, if you've never heard of Boston Dynamics, this is like what, in 2007, if you'd have told us that the phone would dominate our life, we really didn't believe it. We didn't really know. It was just launching. But it has become a huge part of our world. Same way if you were to go back, say there were ATMs and, you know, you could pump gas at the pump by yourself, all those different things. Different people generations would have said, no, that's not possible. Well, here is the new reality in 2021. And if you've not seen this, this is not CGI. This is not computer generated. These are real. This might just be the future. Watch. Unbelievable to me that, like, when you think about a robot that can dance, do backflips, I mean, can do American Ninjas, you know, boop, 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 running around all that stuff, I'm like, there's no way
this happening. This is actually happening. And I'm thinking, what is going on? This is all new technology, things that are pushing the envelope. And I start thinking about if we're in 2021 and this is happening now, if you fast forward 14 to 15 years, like at the beginning of the church, when the iPhone was released, what will be different? So then here's my thought, and this is, I'm probably not alone in this, is do we really need other people? If I can pump my gas without anybody, if I can work out, I don't really need anybody, I got machines that help me do that. If I can do all of these things, do I really need anybody? Now somebody's saying, that's a stupid question, Justin. Of course we do. Well, then let me go ahead and go to the next level. What about streaming movies? You don't go to the movies with anybody anymore. You're like, I ain't going nowhere. Too expensive. Let's just sit down and watch it. Blip, blip, you know. You can watch them by yourself. Then you got also, speaking of where we are today, already currently in major cities, for sure you understand that you can also have your food delivered to your house by a robot. I'm like, what? And then I know what some of you have already thought. We're like, well, Justin, it's partly your fault, brother, because I'm not even at church today. I'm watching church at home, right? Because that's changed. So I pulled up this. This is Brandon, Daylin, and all them. By the way, we're praying for you, Brandon. We love you. Brandon plays bass. Daylin, they've been going through some COVID stuff as well, but got all of your backs. But that's what's crazy. It's not all bad. But here's the thing. I also want to point out, if you have cookies here instead of, I might be there as well. But remember, in the midst of everything that's changing, we have groups in Dallas watching right now on a screen. And so you're probably asking, well, do we really need church? I mean, if I can watch online or if I can do all these other things, what's this all about? Well, here's the thing. As I start walking through and looking at where we're going and what it looks like, I want to make sure you understand a couple of things. A recent survey came out. American survey said that most believe that they're very spiritual, but they also believe it's very personal for them. So they're saying in their own worlds, like, hey, do I need other people? Do I need God? Well, I know he's real and I want to do it, but it's private for me. This is about just me and God. So don't worry about me. Don't get in my life. I'm working through this. They've even created something called the flesh trinity. And you're like, what is that? It's like, here is how it works. You know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Well, this is called me, myself, and I. That's the spirituality. And so they have this idea that, hey, I know that I can make it, as long as I have God and myself, we're going to be all right. And so here is the challenge for you. This is not unusual for anybody in here, but let me just throw it out there for you. You ready? I've said this quote before, but I'm going to put it on the screen so you can read it and remember it. You don't have to come to church to be a Christian. Y'all know that, right? But you don't have to go home to be married, but it sure helps. Can I get an amen out there, married people? So here is the point. It is true, as long as you are gathering together, that really is something powerful and biblical to it. Now, some of us in our mind think that it's in this room watching like this, and I would challenge you that it is like what's happening in Dallas. It is like what happened in a watch party. There is something about the idea of just not being alone. It is bigger than me, myself, and I. The whole Christian life is not just about what you want or what you think or what you believe. It is about working together. It is about needing each other. That's why God himself, Jesus, the scriptures are included in the New Testament of saying it's like the human body. You can't function alone. You're better together. So, in the speculation that everyone's gone through in the last couple of weeks is it the end times, Justin? I mean, if this is really the end times, we have another hurricane coming up in Louisiana. We had 3 or 4 last year. I can't remember. Now they're happening so often. You've got a pandemic that is rocking the world. You have all of these things going on. You're like, is it the end time? Well, maybe. I'm not sure. Maybe, but check this out. In case it is, Hebrews, you ready? 10:25. Many people quoted this during the pandemic in saying that this is why you press through and you don't care about anybody else and you just make it happen. So hang with me. We should not stop gathering together with other believers. And I totally agree with that. But listen, as we continue on, as some of you are doing, instead we must continue to encourage each other even more as we see the day of the Lord coming. As I leave this scripture up here, I want you to just notice a couple of things. It doesn't tell you how to gather. It doesn't tell you in the size of what that looks like. It just says, if it is the end of the days, if it is that the Lord is coming back, you or I cannot do this by ourselves. It was never designed that way. It was never intended that way. And one of many reasons, and we'll go through some of them today, is because the more you isolate, the more selfish you become. And the more you begin to believe that everything you think or believe is right without the check of God's word or the accountability of another believer. So that is why at our current culture, we are in so much tension. It's because we're moving more and more to, I don't know if I need anybody. I just got to be able to protect myself. It's me, myself, and I'm right, and I don't care what anybody else says. And what you'll see in Scripture, as I'm about to demonstrate, is the beauty of being together with other believers is a challenge to go, wait a second, maybe I'm wrong a little bit. Maybe there's something I could be better at. Maybe there's something I should change. I want you to notice that when you gather with other believers, it is not about the size of the group. That is why when we did watch parties like Brandon and them had just showed us, it was still effective because you could talk about that even in a small group. It wasn't about having 2,000 or 5,000. It was about there is someone else that I'm doing life with. So here's the key. If it is the end of times, this is important to encourage each other. Not tear each other apart. Not demand your way. The whole idea is we've got to encourage when we gather not to be mad, not to be frustrated with everyone else, but to find a way. And I have been there too, and I can go back and look at some of my messages and go, man, I need to work on this because I'm not there yet. But as we're navigating this, the encouragement and the challenge of each other to go, hey, if the Lord is coming soon, then let's be careful to remember to gather and to encourage and help one another. Just don't try to go through the end times by yourself. Don't go it alone. Why, Justin? Because the closer we get to Jesus' return, the more you're going to need somebody else. The closer you get to Him coming back, I promise you, everything you read in the New Testament says you're going to need each other. So shall I demonstrate? Instead of giving you a long list of scriptures, I'm giving you an image, and we'll post it on Instagram and everything, and Facebook. We'll try to put it out there so you can look up all these on your own. But let's, shall we look at just a few of the scriptures. Do we really need each other? I mean, is it really possible? Look at the examples of how He calls us to love, to forgive, to submit, to accept, to bear one another, to live with in harmony with each other, to care for, to lay down your lives for, encourage each other, worship together, greet together, be humble, honor, teach. The list is never about you doing it by yourself, ever. It is this idea that there is something special that when you come together, even in the smallest group, it is something unique and dynamic that happens in that. So here was my thought as I looked at all of this list of all these one another's. Am I living that? I mean, am I living it daily? Is it even possible to live all this out daily? Well, as I look at this list, this week I was reminded again. I've been in the hospital a lot lately. You know it's for COVID, but this one was not for COVID. I had another phone call that I received, and a lot of my friends were telling me about someone who's very close to me. And when I look at this list right here, this person lived out this list. Not a few of the things, almost every one of these things. Here's his picture. His picture is a little bit older because this was back when I recognized him and thanked him when I was at First Baptist Bossier. Brought him into the gym when I was a student pastor. And his name is Richard Kuvion, and I just wanted to give him a little, you know, time away. I gave him a little hotel trip and all this stuff, but just to go, Kuv, thank you for loving on us. Thank you for having our back. Thank you for all of the one another's you did, forgiving us. Golly, there's a lot. I'll go into that in a minute. Taking care of us, supporting us. Because when we were in really middle school all the way through high school, here's another picture of some of the guys that were in. We had a softball team, a baseball team. And Kuv, who had never coached before in his life, some of you heard this story, but bear with me, and I'll tell you why it's so important this week. He was there, never coached before, never done anything, but boy, when he needed us, we needed a coach, we needed somebody to step in with us, he was there. When we were getting married, I go through all of the different things. He would be there right in the middle. That's Scott's wedding, one of our good buddies, Glenn Myers. He's just like, man, what can I do to be a part? How can I love on you? How can I encourage you? How can I help you? And then in Simple Church, a few years, 2012, I think it was, I actually brought him back in again because some of the same guys, we got together at my house just to thank Kuv and go, man, thank you for all you've done for us, because a lot of the guys in the group, not all of them, but became ministers. And this one man served us, loved us. He picked us up, gave us rides when we needed rides. He taught us. He taught us God's words. He even taught me how to drive out in the field. He let us have an Arkla Gas truck that we would go to work with him as he worked for Arkla Gas. Arkla, thank God y'all are not around anymore. And he would let us, as a middle schooler, drive his truck all through the field. I'm doing donuts out in the field. And Coos over there. Oh, Justin Eugene, bring that truck over here. And I'm thinking, this dude's crazy. But he did it. And you know what he did? He would encourage us. On my birthday, he never missed a birthday that he'd call me and go, happy birthday, Justin Eugene. I mean, we had bad plays on the baseball field. It's okay, guys. We're going to get it, man. He was devoted to us like no one I had ever had in my life. He never missed a practice. He never missed a trip. He forgave us when you didn't think that anybody would. I've told this story before, but I'll give you a quick recap. We went on a quick softball trip, supposedly, going down to Galveston to have a guys' softball tournament. The only problem was is we didn't tell the church that we were going. We were at Summer Grove at the time, and so they didn't reserve the van for us. And so what we decided to do was steal the church van. Don't judge me. The church van was loaded up for an RA trip. It had drinks and snacks already in it, so we didn't really ask. We just went and got the keys. Kevin Cross is the guy that did it, actually stole the truck. So Coov comes up. He's like, oh, y'all got the van. We sure did, Coov. Everything's approved. We drove down to Galveston, and we go down there, and Coov gets burnt on the first day to a crisp, literally. So burnt, he couldn't do anything. We put him in the bed. We said, Coov, is there anything we can do for you? Because now we're teenagers with keys to the church van and no leadership. Can I get an oh me, all right? He said, all I really wanted, guys, was some fried shrimp. This is about 1985. We went to the local buffet, and every guy got a grocery sack and filled the buffet with fried shrimp. We came back and dumped his bed and filled his bed with fried shrimp. Just imagine that for a minute. He's like, guys, you got to be kidding. He was eating fried shrimp off of his bed. It gets worse because as the thing continued on, we were bored. We had no leader because he was hurting. He was in this bind. So then we get our shampoos and all of the shampoo in the hotel we could find. We saw a beautiful fountain in our entryway in the lobby. And we filled it with soap. And it just overflowed into a beautiful fountain of bubbles. We were like, that's awesome. Then we found fire extinguishers. Pray for me. We started dancing and throwing fire extinguishers in the hallway. We go back into our room thinking we are good to go. About 2 in the morning, Galveston police knock on the door. Ding, 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 ding. Galveston police was like, Coov, someone's at the door. Coov goes, what's going on, guys? What's going on? We don't know, Coov. Coov gets up, goes to the door, and they said, we got a problem. Coov's like, what's the problem? I've been asleep. We're like, us too, Coov. What's going on? He said, you've killed all the koi fish in the pond. So guess what? Somebody's going to jail or somebody's going to pay the debt for you. Y'all just figure out what happened in the midst of all that because I'm here today. I'm not in jail. I have no record. But Coov defended us, got our back. When we didn't deserve it at all. And I'm sitting there going, man, what an amazing guy that showed us what Jesus really was like. When we didn't deserve it, we were horrible. But yet there he was continuing to love. So a few years ago, I got Chip and we went to find Coov to thank him again. And I found the video just to reminisce so you can see a picture of the man that I love so much. Watch.
Jesse.
Coov!
Jesse.
You the best,
Coov.
Well, you looking good.
No, you looking good.
Oh, thank you. Thank
all right, here we are. We're in the living room of the Coovinator.
I'll be back.
So you're the Coovinator.
We're coming out.
You know that's true.
Coovinator, okay.
You've already heard some of the stories, but I wanted you to meet the man behind the myth. Right? Oh, man, there ain't no myth here. This is truly a legend. Coov, I had to tell you, I wanted these people just to be able to see kind of again, just how special you are to me. Listen to me.
Okay.
We love you. You are such an influence in so many of our lives. I just wrote some stuff in there because I just want you to know that I love you, man. And I really do appreciate all that you've done, man. There's no way I could repay you. And this little gift
don't mean nothing compared to what I wish I could get.
Justin.
What I could. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. It's not that big a deal. Yeah. Take it, man.
Okay.
You're our hero. You really are a hero, man. We put you through some stuff. But you never stop loving us. Well, Coop, you've been like a dad to us for sure. Yeah. Thanks
you've
for
been like sons to me, I guess you might.
Yeah, that's right. Well, thanks for investing in us. Thanks for loving on us. Thanks for caring about us.
Well, I appreciate y'all.
Thanks
too,
for not giving up on us. You know, God had a plan. Yeah. He does have a plan.
He has a plan.
It don't make sense sometimes.
No,
we don't
always know what it is, but
that's the truth. That's the truth.
Can you give it up for Coop? I don't know if you can see it or not. I'll put his headshot up here because in that picture, what got me is he's smiling, but he's crying. He's broken. So thankful. Didn't want to receive anything. Would never receive anything. Well, the reason I bring it all up, and some of you heard the story before, but he's about to pass away, 88 years old. I got the phone call to go into his hospital room to tell him goodbye. And I'm going to tell you, man, there's some tough stuff going on when you realize someone who's lived it in front of you, who sacrificed, who gave, who forgave, who loved unconditionally. And as I walk into Willis Knight and South, I have my badge on. I have a clergy badge on. That's how, by the way, I can come see you when you have COVID or you're in your last days, as Coov is at 88 years old. When nobody else can get in and nobody else is going on. So I'm thankful, Willis Knight, for making that happen and for all the other hospitals that respect the clergy to be able to come in and love on them because of this. As I walked in this week, the doctor is walking out. Don't know him, never met him before. But as I was walking out, he said, "Man, I'm glad to see you. Thanks for coming." Because as you know, there's not a lot of visitors, not a lot going on. I said, "Man, I couldn't miss this one." He said, "Oh, really?" And I said, "Yeah, because that's a hero." As I said back in 2012, I believe that. And the doctor stopped in his tracks and he said, "He's a hero." And I said, "Yes, sir, let me explain what this man did for me and for all of my friends and how many ministers have come out of what he's done to change the world." We have a Greek Orthodox pastor, priest that came out of that group of those motley crew of boys. We have other pastors and other churches all around the state and around the nation because of this guy right here. And he said, "Wow," he said, "let me ask you something then, Pastor. Would you mind if I join in to pray over this hero with you?" In his busy schedule, with everything going on, the doctor turns around. We gather hands with Coov's wife and his daughter, and we pray over Coov. And we thank God for him. And I get down in his face, and I thank him personally. As tears again well up in his eyes through an oxygen mask that he can't breathe through very well, I said, "Coov, I love you. Terry loves you, Tony loves you, all of us, Jason loves you. We all love you for what you've done for us, Scott, JB. All of us just want to tell you, thank you for all you've done for us." And he just cries, squeezes my hand because he can't talk. And as I walk out of there, as I'm leaving, his wife's very grateful, they're thankful. And as I'm walking out of there, this is what hits me. You ready? I'm going to put on the screen for you. No Coov, no Pastor Justin. No Pastor Justin, no Simple Church. There's not a robot that could have been Richard Cuvion. I mean, Tesla's come up with it. You've probably seen it. I don't know if you know it or not, but not quite like Richard Cuvion. And your technology may be able to get you through on some things, but let me tell you something. You will not, I will not be able to make it without people. I needed Richard Cuvion, and so do you. Your kids need Richard Cuvion. Your teenager needs a Richard Cuvion. So when you're thinking, well, do I really need to try to get to church? Do I really need to try to get to life group? Even when we're limited, we were still trying to find ways for you to get together in limited ways to be connected. Because although we couldn't gather on a large scale, we knew that we could still gather in a safe way, in a small scale. So here's the thing. It's just not the same. Listen, maybe it's that we need to be different. Maybe we need to be more concerned about others, and maybe we need to be concerned about others, and we need to work around and do whatever we got to do so that we can be a little more Coov-like. That whatever, when he worked all day at Arkle Gas, he would still come by and pick us up. "You guys want ice cream?" Listen, he was never the pastor of a large church. He read gas meters for a living. He didn't have thousands of members to take care of. He took care of a handful of guys. And 1 John gives you a real clear description of what that looks like. You ready? This is how we've come to understand and experience love. I found love. I'll tell you, I did find love. How? Because Christ sacrificed his life for us. This is why when we talk about as Christians, you want to look at Coov, what did he do? He sacrificed over and over and over. This is why we ought to live sacrificially for others and not just be about ourselves. See, the scripture is so clear as it goes on. It's not even like a, I wonder if what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to care about others more than ourselves. We're supposed to be willing to go the extra mile. And Coov helped me understand that. He helped me experience love. How did he do that? By sacrifice. 1 John 3:18, let's stop saying we love people. Let's really love them. How are we going to do that? Coov showed me by our actions. Life is tough. It is challenging right now. There is no doubt. But what if your sacrifice, what if your heart helps someone experience Jesus in a real way? I believe it can, and I believe it will. So my question is would you consider getting in a life group, maybe joining a life group? And you go, well, why? Because maybe it's not about what you receive. Maybe it's about what you give. Maybe when you join a group, all of a sudden, man, they begin to experience something special and different because of who you are. And at the same time, maybe you do as well. We put a little slide together, and there's a whole lot over there, but there's just an example. You can go on our website. You can look on all the social medias and all this stuff. Amber's done a great job. There's a bunch of different groups. Some of them tennis groups, fun groups. Some of them Bible study. There's all kinds of groups. You go, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do. Listen, here's the good thing. If it is the end of the world, And he's coming back tomorrow. You don't want to be alone. You want to be living like he did, sacrificially for others, doing whatever you can. So then some of you say, well, what else can I do, Joshua? Well, maybe would you be willing to host a group? We're going to start after Labor Day, so you still got a little bit of time. And you go, well, what can I do to host a group? Not just go to one. You're like, I don't know if I can go one. I don't know whose house. I don't know if I fit. Well, then start your own. And this is what it looks like. If you have a heart for people, we put together just an example, a little image for you. So go to that next screen, if you don't mind, where it shows the idea of what it is to have a heart for people. Host, you go, what do you mean? Have a heart for people, open your home, serve a snack, and turn on the TV. Because we'll give you DVDs, we'll give you curriculum. We're just saying, hey, come up with a place. Sometimes people do their workplace, some people do the home. You just find a way that you can host others and love them that way. Now, the good news, this is just because if you grew up in church, the groups that we have are semester-based. You're not in it for the rest of your life. Can I get an amen on that? So what happens is when you join a group or you start a group, you're not saying this is it forever. You just go through the end of the year from after Labor Day to right before Christmas, and that's it. But in that 8 weeks or 7 weeks or 6 weeks or 10 weeks, whatever you decide to do, maybe, just maybe, you would find a Coov for your life or you could be a Coov. Because I can tell you, you can't do it alone. And better news than it being a short system is this. You need each other. You cannot do it alone. And I, of course, want to end with a couple of videos just to give you reminders of that. I've told you Coov's story. Some of you heard before and you're going, okay, I get it. Well, this is even Steve Hartman, who does it better than I could ever do. But I want you to get it. Pay attention to why we need each other. What sacrifice looks like. What loving by action means. Here is just a little snapshot of why no robot will ever be able to do this. Watch.
Okay.
Life has its ups and downs, but rarely do you see a swing as dramatic as what 66-year-old Coy Featherston just went through.
I'm speechless sometimes because of how it happened.
Coy, who used to work as a concert lighting director and graphic artist, says he still hasn't fully processed his good fortune to end up here, from here, and to do it virtually overnight.
I was beginning to lose hope.
A month ago, you're homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're here. How does that happen?
It was just through friends. They started coming from everywhere.
I figured I could find him.
Leah Meckling was his first blast from the past. She started looking for Coy after seeing his picture in the local Austin, Texas newspaper. Leah says if not for the caption, she would have never recognized her high school friend, the talented football player who was once voted best all-around boy. Coy was everyone's friend, which is why Leah felt compelled to to return the kindness.
And I came and looked here at this church.
After 3 days of searching, she found him right here.
I said, "Hi, Coy, it's Leah. Do you remember me?" And he said, "Of course I do."
I was relieved because it was someone that I knew.
And it wasn't just Leah.
And it's really shocking when you find that an old friend, I mean, that you've known, is living in your same town on the street.
All these high school buddies saw the same picture in the paper.
I jumped right into action.
And had the same response.
Yeah, I got him a phone, put him on my cell phone plan.
Getting some dental work done. We got his Social Security done.
He lives with me. He can stay there as long as he wants.
Whatever it takes, we're going to turn it around.
Fortunately, his friends say Coy doesn't have any drug or alcohol problems. They say he ended up on the streets of Austin after a series of unfortunate events and some mental health issues. And once he started spiraling, there was just no crawling out on his own.
I don't know if I'd really gotten through it without my friends. Make friends now.
You may need them someday.
You may need them someday. You may be glad that you have them, you know, because it could happen to anyone.
Friendly reminder from one of the richest men on earth.
Come on, man, give it up for that. So what's available next door when you walk through there? Maybe you're needing friends, you're looking for friends, and you go, "Man, here's my chance." And I know what some of you are thinking, like, "I just don't know, man, I'm still nervous. I don't know if I can dive into that. I don't know if I'm ready to make that big of a leap." Well, because you're special and you made it today, you're watching online, you're here, this next video is to hopefully encourage you, to give you enough courage, enough strength to dive in. And once again, notice you couldn't do it without the help of somebody encouraging you. Watch.
It is the tallest 20 inches in sports. The distance between a diving board and the surface of the water can feel like half a body length, especially when it's half your body length. Which is why all summer long, 4-year-old Dylan Stick has been cheating the system, gradually lowering himself into the water like a fragile egg.
He had no interest in it.
His mom,
ever.
Marla.
You don't want to pressure him.
Right, yeah. Right. We were just saying, "Hey, you want to give it a shot? You want to give it a try?" And
he was no way.
Right. He wasn't interested.
Enter 95-year-old Daniel Biss.
They drafted me.
Daniel was in the Air Force during World War II in Korea.
Radio operator.
He knows a thing or two about fear and bravery. So when he saw this neighborhood kid at a family pool party in Canton, Ohio, and heard everyone trying to coax him off the board,
he just wouldn't go.
He knew exactly what Dylan needed.
Just needed some convincing, I guess.
I guess he did.
I was going to try anyway.
Are you videoing this?
So Daniel borrowed a swimsuit and, with cane in hand, stepped up to set the example.
This is a miracle!
This is a miracle, one kid yelled, as if Lazarus himself had risen up to the springboard. And it did feel that way. The great-grandfather hadn't been on a diving board in 50 years. And yet there he stood, ready and willing to teach a lesson in courage, which almost turned into a lesson in first aid.
Everyone kind of like held their breath and got real nervous, like, "Oh, was this a bad idea?"
Well, I was up to that far, I figured I may as well go through with it.
And so, at the age of 95, he dove for Dylan.
Jump out! Jump out!
Not the prettiest dive I've ever seen.
No. I could have done better.
Actually, he really couldn't have done better. Because shortly after Daniel took his last jump off a diving board, Dylan took his first.
Yeah!
It was really neat that inspired him to do it. It was a neat moment.
This all happened last month, and today Dylan jumps no problem. Hopefully, his courage will now inspire you with whatever leap you need to make. Steve Hartman, on the road in Canton, Ohio.
Come on, y'all. Coov, thanks for teaching us how to jump. And if you're an older adult in here, thanks for showing us the way. But we're not done yet. There's a lot of kids watching. Your grandkids are watching. Even strangers like me are watching. And what you do today, whether that's joining a group or starting a group or choosing to love or serve somebody else
or truly be someone who's willing to sacrifice the way Christ did. It has a lasting effect. Don't be scared, man. Let's dive in. And then, when Jesus does crack that sky open, and you meet him face to face, you'll get to hear like Coov's going to hear, maybe any moment, "Well done. Man, you are so good, so faithful. You were a servant." How does a servant work? By helping other people. Not about me, myself, and I, but what can I do for others? Father, I pray that whoever's here, whoever's watching, would get it today. Yeah, it's a little risky, as we talked about last week, but man, the reward is great. If Coov had not ever thought about me, these people may not be listening. We might not even be having this conversation. But a guy who worked for a gas company decided to give up his time to sacrifice every week, eventually even every day, picking us up for practice, taking us on trips, forgiving us when we made some really stupid choices. Because in the whole process, all he wanted to do was be Jesus in this real world. And I pray, God, that as we listen today, that we would follow that example. Maybe someone would decide to volunteer in a high school or middle school or a children's area. They go, "Man, this will be my chance to do that. I need to get back to that." Because God knows with everything going on today, they need some adults to point them to Jesus, to live selfless. For those that have done that, I think of Miss Diane. I can just know you by name, and I thank God for you because what you've done for our kids, what you've done by example. I think of so many others, but God, I also know that there's so many people in this room that are scared to take the leap. God, help us to follow your example. Help us, God, to just be willing to put ourselves second, to love people the way that you have. I love you, Jesus. I thank you for loving me. If there's someone that's never received you, I pray today they would, as simply as they can, say, "Jesus, I'm sorry for my mistakes, my sins. I'm asking you to come into my life and change me. Give me a fresh start today, God, and help me to follow you." And God, if you can, could you put somebody in there to help me know the way? I need a Cuvion in my life, and I pray you'd answer that prayer for them today like you did for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I get an amen somewhere? Come on. I love you, dude. Thank you for being here. Thank you for watching. Thank you for paying attention. I can tell you, as we get ready to walk out of here, I'm going to put one other thing on the screen for you. The closer we get to Jesus' return, remember this, the more you're going to need each other. The closer we get to him returning, the more you're going to need each other. Right next door is an opportunity to find some of those people. Sign up, if not, start a group. We'd love for you to be a part of it. I love you. Thanks for being here. Until next week, what do we say? Peace. Thanks for coming.